going behind the headlines on some of our biggest stories today. A celebration takes place for Great Britain's Paralympics team.
It's something I've dreamt of for the last 12 years, since London 2012.
A new school uniform guidance comes into force across Scotland.
You can go to the office and get clothes, and then we can bring you in and we'll be a big family.
I'm Rosanna Robbins. It's Thursday, the 12th of September, 2024. First, the Prime Minister's warning the NHS needs to be reformed or it could die. Sir Keir Starmer's been responding to the findings of an independent review looking at the health service in England. Our political editor, Georgie Prodromo, has more on this.
A damning report telling us the NHS is in danger.
It is unforgivable, and people have every right to be angry. Some of these failings are literally life and death.
Labour's 10-year plan has three key areas: transition to digital, care moving from hospitals to communities, and prevention of sickness. Sir Keir Starmer's insisted he won't be throwing money at the problem, though.
We have to fix the plumbing before turning on the tap. So hear me when I say this. No more money without reform.
The Tories tell me they're worried the new government will scrap their plans to build new hospitals.
Well, meanwhile, our exclusive investigation into waiting times at one A&E department in Yorkshire has found more than 900 people waited more than 30 hours there in the first half of this year. York and Scarborough A&E says staff are working exceptionally hard in the most difficult circumstances. Our chief reporter, Cathy Green, has the story.
NHS targets say the vast majority of patients turning up at A&E should be treated, admitted or discharged within 4 hours. But figures I've got hold of say more than 900 people waited more than 30 hours in just the first 6 months of this year. Ashley Green is from Health Watch in North Yorkshire.
We are concerned that high waiting times are here to stay. So they're becoming the norm, really, and they aren't the exception anymore.
Managers at the Trust say they've got to prioritise the most unwell patients and are sorry to those who have long waits.
Thanks, Cathy. Over to Scotland now, where the government there is introducing new guidance on school uniforms today. It's being put in place to help shape individual school policies and ultimately reduce the cost of dressing kids for a day in the classroom. Stephanie Allison has this one.
The cost of school uniforms can put real pressure on parents and families. Shorts or skirt, socks or tight, jumper or cardigan. And that's before we get to shoes or boots. Well, today, the Scottish Government's announcing new guidance to help cut the cost of kitting out kids for school. Education Secretary Jenny Gilruth launched it at Camperdown Primary in Dundee.
We know the cost of the school day is becoming increasingly challenging for families. That's why we're providing funding to councils like Dundee City Council to help in terms of the school clothing grant, which is worth £150 for secondary pupils and £120 for primary pupils. And we know that's making a difference. The guidance looks to work with schools in terms of how they could support families.
It says schools will be expected to do all they can to limit the number of items pupils need. Well, Lucy Wilson is a Primary 7 pupil. She's been giving us her thoughts.
I think the school uniforms brings us all together like one big family, and people who don't have them will be odd, but then you can go to the office and get clothes and then we can bring you in and we'll be a big family.
But there's a flip side to all this. Critics say any relaxing of the rules only adds pressure to buy expensive designer labels. Like Kirsty, whose daughters attend a high school where there's a no uniform policy.
Because we couldn't afford to buy designer clothes for our kids, they frequently got bullied in school. That's the danger of having no school uniform policy. There's so much peer pressure and bullying occurs.
It's early days, but the government here hopes the move will play a key role in ending child poverty across Scotland.
You're listening to Behind the Headlines. Still to come, the stars of TV were celebrated at the National Television Awards last night.
Wow, what an amazing way to end my 6 years on Coronation Street.
But first, tomorrow is World Sepsis Day, and ahead of it, we're getting a personal insight into just how serious the condition is. Figures show almost a quarter of a million people are affected by sepsis every year in the UK. Our Northern Ireland chief reporter James Gold is sharing his story after spending 2 weeks on a ward at Craigevon Hospital. He's been back there to find out more.
Back in 2021, I got sepsis. It's thought it was from a cut I had playing football. I came to A&E and then spent 2 weeks here at Craigevon Hospital on a ward, and then a further 3 months on a PICC line, getting treatment every day. Back then, I had no idea just how serious it was. So ahead of Sepsis Awareness Day, I'm back at Craigevon Hospital to find out more about the condition and raise awareness.
just how serious is sepsis?
Well, it's potentially deadly.
Microbiology consultant Cara McKeating spoke to me about the condition.
It's a clinical syndrome where your body is basically mounting a really extreme reaction to an infection. And you can end up with multi-organ dysfunction and tissue damage, because in trying to attack the infection, the body is also causing damage to its own tissues.
So in what sort of circumstances can sepsis happen? Is it just any sort of infection, or is there a specific type?
It's nearly always a bacterial infection, but it can happen with other types of infection, like viral or fungal infections. It's a really important condition that needs to be managed early. And if you have suspicion of sepsis, you need to seek medical attention as early as possible.
I understand that around one person a day, at least in Craigavon, is presenting to A&E with symptoms of sepsis.
Now, a homecoming ceremony for Great Britain's Paralympics team has been taking place in Birmingham this evening. The worlds of sport, celebrity and entertainment all came together to celebrate their success in Paris. Our reporter Katie Jones was there for us.
The atmosphere here at the Utilita Arena tonight is electric. Athletes are flooding the red carpet in their Paralympic tracksuits, wearing their hard-earned medals proudly. Hannah Cockcroft won gold and silver in Paris and has been telling us about her experience.
Paris was everything I wanted and probably more. Being back in full stands, full stadium, 70,000 people, it's something I've dreamt of for the last 12 years since London 2012.
Katie Baser, H and Craig David are just some artists performing at the Utilita Arena tonight. Craig David's been telling us what we can expect.
I'm going to be performing a new song called In Your Hands here tonight at the Paralympics, welcoming everyone home and congratulating everyone for all the amazing accomplishments that they've achieved.
Everyone has been telling me they're proud to be para-athletes and are excited to be celebrated for their achievements.
And it was the National Television Awards in London last night where the best of the small screen is celebrated. Our entertainment reporter Olivia Marks has this roundup.
It wouldn't be the NTAs without
Anton Deck.
They won the Best Presenter Award for the 23rd year in a row. Emmerdale took back the soap crown and Peter Ash won for his performance in Coronation Street.
Wow, what an amazing way to end my 6 years on Coronation Street.
Shows including Bridgerton, I'm a Celeb and The Traitors picked up awards, and Davina McCall broke down in tears as she received the Special Recognition Award after almost 3 decades in the business.
For more on these stories, head to the news pages of our website or check out our social media channels, and be sure to come back again tomorrow when we'll continue to take you behind the headlines.